fire truck or police car. We're getting to the heart of the problems that we face as a community. So again, I want to take this opportunity before we go to that news and ask you to pick up the phone. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Once again, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Or if you have the smartphone app, you can get to us that way. But whichever way you do, take this opportunity to make the connection. We're suggesting $10 a month, $120 a year. That will get you the Democracy Now! T-shirt. But once again, KBOO, 877-500-5266. Call now.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Angel's Donuts and Ice Cream, located on 2805 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, serving donuts and ice cream every day. Lunch provided by Paradox Cafe at 3439 Southeast Belmont Street. Open for breakfast and lunch every day, serving organic burgers, breakfast, and brunch, and more. Dinner provided by Thai Peacock, located in downtown Portland at 219 Southwest 9th Avenue. Serving Thai comfort food, Thai Peacock is open daily for lunch and dinner. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film Urban Roots on Thursday, September 13th at 7 p.m. Urban Roots is a documentary that tells the story of the emergence of urban farming in Detroit.
They really not getting out and seeing what's going on out in the city of Detroit, because me tell you, if they did, man, all the stuff they talking about up there wouldn't mean nothing.
This growing movement of urban farmers is changing the way people think about food and life in Detroit. Again, that's a film screening of the documentary Urban Roots, Thursday, September 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Literary Arts, presenting civil rights activist DeRay McKenson September 20th at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, featuring a conversation on culture, social justice, politics, and progress. Tickets and more information available online at literary-arts.org. KBOO programming is also made possible with support from Hopworks Urban Brewery, offering sustainable brews and local food for 10 years, serving the community at three locations: Hopworks Urban Brewery at Southeast Powell Boulevard, Bike Bar at North Williams Avenue, and in Vancouver on Southeast Mill Plain Boulevard. More information online at hopworksbeer.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the City Auditor's Office presented its report on short-term rentals to the Portland City Council.
The Mayor's Office named members to the new Committee on Community Engaging Policing.
And a lawsuit is challenging Portland's camping ordinance.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we would like you to become a member right now by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Portland City Council met in their chambers at City Hall this morning, as they do every Wednesday at 9:30. KBOO reporters were there, and Sam Bowman has this roundup of the morning's business.
It was a relatively quiet morning at the Portland City Council. The council barely met quorum, with only Commissioners Udaly, Fritz, and Saltzman present, and Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Fish out for the morning. The chambers were pretty full at the beginning of the session, but about a fifth of those present were actually students from the Gymnasium No. 5, a school in Khabarovsk, Russia, which has an exchange program going with the city of Portland. In case you didn't know, Khabarovsk is one of Portland's dozen or so sister cities. Alan Ellis, president of the Portland-Khabarovsk Sister City Association, painted a cheery picture of relations between the two cities for the council.
We have a band going, a bluegrass band going over to Khabarovsk at the end of October, Scratch Dog String Band. This is a way, despite the problems between our two countries, our relations with our sister city couldn't be more cordial.
After the exchange students filed out, the council listened to members of City Auditor Mary Hull Caballero's office present three reports they issued over the summer. One on police training, one on stormwater management, and the most recent report, which covers the city's response to the widespread failure of short-term housing providers like Airbnb to get basic permits. KBOO's Joe Meyer will have a report on the short-term housing audit after this. That and the police training audit received the bulk of attention from the audience and council. And you heard that right. The public was, in fact, allowed to testify on the reports. Whether or not to allow public testimony on reports is a decision for the presiding officer, as Mayor Wheeler kindly pointed out to a council attendee last week.
Excuse me, it is at the discretion of the presiding officer, that is me, not you. No, you're wrong.
The presiding officer this week was Council President Dan Saltzman, who surprised the attendees by allowing testimony after being prompted by citizen Mimi Gurman. The police training audit was given a soft release in June and was following up on a 2015 audit that took a critical view of the Bureau's compliance with the 2014 settlement agreement between the city and the U.S. Department of Justice. The auditor's report painted a fairly rosy picture of the Bureau's compliance, finding the police either in compliance or on the road to compliance on a number of training goals outlined in the settlement agreement. For illustration, the report found that the Bureau was in the process of improving its training on the basic issue of profane and demeaning language central to the basic interaction of officers and civilians. Commissioner Fritz asked for more detail on how this training is currently presented. Here she is speaking with Martha Prince, the lead auditor on the report.
What kind of training do they do on the issue of profanity in language?
They're saying it's woven into a lot of different trainings, but I reviewed all kinds of lesson plans and other similar materials, and I didn't find as much as we thought there should have been.
Portland accountability advocates have long been exasperated by the settlement agreement and the terms that it and the city have set for what counts as improvement. Portland Copwatch's Dan Handelman gave a number of examples during the impromptu public testimony. For example, on the audit's mention of the Bureau's concern for its officers' self-esteem.
It was alarming to read that the Bureau is not willing to use real-life Portland scenarios in training because they don't want to embarrass the officer involved who might be present at the training. This is outrageous if the Bureau is truly committed to learning from its mistakes. If the person who was involved recognizes they could have handled the situation better, there should be no embarrassment. This is not second rate.
You can find the auditor's reports at portlandoregon.gov/auditor. There is also an open meeting of the Bureau's Training Advisory Committee tonight at 6:30 at their training complex at 14912 Northeast Airport Way. For KBOO in Portland, I'm Sam Bowman.
The City of Portland's Auditor Office presented their report on short-term rentals like Airbnb to City Council this morning. The report chides the city for not keeping better records and for not enforcing their own regulations. Of the nearly 5,000 Airbnb getaways in Portland, fewer than 1 in 4 are registered with the city. KBOO's Joe Meyer is covering Portland housing and filed this report.
The City Auditor's Office presented their report on short-term housing to City Council this morning. Here's the lead auditor on the report, Alexandra Fertrag.
In this audit, we found that most short-term rental hosts do not have the required permits, and the city rarely enforces its regulation. And despite concerns about the effect of short-term rentals on housing availability and affordability, the city does not collect data needed to effectively regulate these rentals and to monitor the housing market. The city began regulating short-term rentals in 2014 when council changed the zoning code to allow residents to rent their homes for short terms. Now, the intent of the regulation was to preserve the residential character of neighborhoods and to prevent commercial short-term rental activity. But we found that the city's current regulation approach cannot assure this. The market has more than doubled since 2015. Note that the largest growth is in the rentals of entire homes compared to private rooms within a home. The regulations require each host to obtain a short-term rental permit and to follow certain restrictions. As of October 2017, Development Services issued over 1,600 active permits. However, during that time, there were over 4,600 rentals listed just on Airbnb alone. Adding the number of rentals from all the other booking agents that are operating in Portland, such as HomeAway or Vacasa, we estimate that only about 22% of rentals are actually permitted. No city bureau has officially been assigned the responsibility to monitor the impact on housing. Neighborhoods in Inner Northeast and also Inner Southeast are more frequented by renters than other parts of the city. These are also neighborhoods that have experienced historically gentrification and are facing affordable housing shortages.
That was Alexandra Furtrog, lead auditor on the short-term housing report. Most hosts do not get permitted. The city does not enforce this regulation, and the city does not study the effects of this lawless short-term market on neighborhood quality or on housing affordability. Commissioner Udaly was previously in charge of the Bureau of Development Services and was first to respond to the auditor's report.
I have not felt that Airbnb is bargaining with us in good faith. They've been dismissive of their impact on our rental market. They have refused every simple suggestion that we've put forth to exclude hosts who are not in compliance with our rules. And they're dragging their feet on giving us their host data. And it's one of the biggest frustrations and disappointments I had with BDS was that I wasn't able to advance enforcement. I appreciate the audit, and even though this is no longer in my portfolio, it's something that I'm just going to continue to hammer on and pursue. And if they don't want to comply with their rules, they should get out of our city.
That was Commissioner Udaly. Commissioner Amanda Fritz added this.
I think at some point in the future it would be helpful to have a report from BDS about what kind of compliance enforcement you have, you know, because obviously it has previously been complaint driven, and I know that there are community members who see this happening. I mean, yes, we can't afford to hire private investigators, but some of these rentals cause a lot of problems with late night partying and basically becoming like a hotel and having similar problems. So then you get a complaint, then you investigate it. So it's something we've been grappling with for several years, and until we get a handle on this, I think all other discussions about zoning code changes, accessory dwelling units, really should be pending getting getting this in line.
That was Portland Commissioner Amanda Fritz. Commissioner Fish and Mayor Wheeler were not in chambers for the report. Since Commissioner Udaly was so recently in charge of the Bureau of Development Services, I asked her after council sessions for more on this topic.
BDS is responsible for Airbnb enforcement, and BDS was in my portfolio up until, I think, last week. We had Bureau reassignments. It's now in the mayor's office. And as a tenant rights advocate and someone who's very concerned with our housing crisis, short-term rentals were an enforcement were an issue that I really hoped to tackle while I had that bureau. Unfortunately, the lack of information on hosts has made it incredibly challenging for us to enforce our own rules. We were, I believe, the first city to create rules around short-term rentals. We have some fairly strict rules, which is great, but not terribly meaningful if we don't have an enforcement mechanism. So there was a lawsuit, not with Airbnb, but I believe with HomeAway, and it was revolving around not remitting taxes, I believe. And part of that settlement, HomeAway agreed to share their host data. And so moving forward in conversations with other short-term rental platforms, we made that a requirement. And it was my understanding that that was agreed to and it was going to be forthcoming. Well, Months later, we still don't have that data, which will make it infinitely easier to enforce our existing rules. And as you probably saw in chambers, I'm pretty fed up.
That was Portland Commissioner Hugh Daley responding to the auditor's report on short-term rentals. Last week, Mayor Wheeler reassigned the Bureau to himself. Stay tuned to KABU for continuing coverage, and this is Joe Meyer with KABU News.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KABU Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news, so now it's your turn. Joining us are Ray and Kyle to talk about how you can support KABU Community Radio.
Hello. This is KBOO Portland during our fall membership drive. And if you do want to call and donate and help us out, because we do need your help, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And we have people at the phones. We have a lot of volunteers here, a couple hundred as far as I know. And everyone puts in a lot of work. Everyone has a unique voice and a unique talent that they offer to make KABU what it is. The evening news is a very specific example of that. And if you want to help us keep that going, you can call in now. Again, that number is 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate.
And Kyle, think how much we learned in just the first 15, 14 minutes of that broadcast. First of all, I have to confess I did not know that there was a city in Russia called Khabarovsk and that we're a sister city, which is pretty interesting. But more important to us is that understanding the police training activities around the accountability agreement was critically important, and Sam did a great job on that. And in Joe's review of the short-term rental discussion from the city auditor, I found very interesting. I mean, to think that there are 5,000 short-term rentals in the city, that the mayor has taken responsibility, and he wasn't even at the meeting today. You know, you're not going to get this information just anywhere. You're going to get it from the hard workers here at KBOO, the news team that put this news together, and the anchors, Brian and Aaron. And that's why it's important for you to continue to support your community radio station. Show these folks that you appreciate the effort, the volunteer time that they put in, and they do put a lot of time in, and give us a call, 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm. We're suggesting that maybe you should consider a $25 a month contribution. It may sound like a lot, but you know, I keep using the latte standard, and that's, what is that, 4 lattes a month? Give up a latte a week. $25 a month, $300 a year can easily come out of your checking account, and you're supporting your community radio station, and it would give you the opportunity to acquire one of our highly fashionable KBOO hoodies. It's got the logo on the front and the back. It's just the thing for fall here in Portland, and it shows your friends, your family, your neighbors that you support community radio. So call 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. But whichever way you choose to do it, please take this opportunity, make your voice heard, and continue to make our voice heard. Continue to provide the support necessary so that volunteers like the KABU Evening News team have the resources, have the tools they need to continue to bring detailed stories like you heard in the first part of this segment from Sam and Joe. It's critically important that you continue to contribute, but critically important that you show support for your community radio station. We've been here 50 years. We'd like to be here 50 years more. We think you'd like us to be here 50 years more. But to do that, we need your help. 877-500-5266 or again, online at kboo.fm.
That's right. KABU Community Radio, 100 years. And again, the evening news is an expose of the work the volunteers put in. I'm a contributor to the news, as is Ray. And, you know, we've been to city council meetings. We've done field reporting at protests. We've interviewed lawyers and politicians and activists. It's all very important work, and it's very important to stay up to date with everything that happens in the city. And if you involve yourself with KABU, you can be a part of that process, too. And again, that number is 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm and click on donate to become a member. And also, that hoodie is a really snazzy hoodie. It's really warm and yet also really thin, and it has the KBOO logo. And that's a $300 a month one-time donation, or a $25 a month, or excuse me, a $300 one-time donation or a $25 a month donation adds to $300 in a year. I've had a lot of coffee. It's keeping me going. And again, that number is 877-500-5266, or you can go to kboo.fm and click on donate to become a member.
Yeah, show your appreciation for the effort that these folks put in. They put it in every weekday. They put the news together. They come in and read the news to you. They share the important goings-ons in the city. So this is your chance, your opportunity to show your support for your community. You know, I think a lot of people would like to be volunteers. I'm lucky. I'm retired. I have the time to volunteer. If you don't have the time to volunteer, you can still be part of the team by showing your support through a donation and becoming a member. Go to kboo.fm on the web and click donate, or go to 877-500-5266 on your phone and talk to one of our talented and attractive group of operators.
Mayor Ted Wheeler has named members to the new Committee on Community Engaged Policing in Portland. Members include a former park ranger, the senior general manager of Lloyd Center Mall, a former ACLU attorney, and two high school students. The committee was put together by Wheeler in order to meet the terms of a settlement agreement over police behavior as agreed to with the U.S. Department of Justice. According to the mayor's office, the role of the committee is to, quote, develop recommendations for how the Portland Police Bureau can better engage the community in its development of policies that directly affect Portlanders with a specific focus on racial justice, constitutional policing, and mental health issues. After holding an initial retreat, the committee will hold its first meeting in November.
A lawsuit filed against the City of Portland claims that the city's camping ordinance and the police sweeps used to enforce it are unconstitutional. Michael O'Callaghan filed suit against the city after his belongings were seized and destroyed during a 2011 police raid on a campsite for houseless people. The federal district court ruled against his claims of Fourth and Eighth Amendment violations. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable search and seizure, and the Eighth Amendment protects against cruel and unusual punishment. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has jurisdiction over the state of Oregon, recently overturned a Boise, Idaho ordinance prohibiting people from sleeping outside on public property. The appeals court ruled that such ordinances may violate the Eighth Amendment when enforced against houseless people who have no access to alternative shelter. On September 6th, that appeals court ruled that the district court had erred in denying O'Callaghan's Eighth Amendment challenge. They remanded that portion of O'Callaghan's suit back to the district court. The appeals court also allowed O'Callaghan to amend his complaint in order to include facts showing that Portland's camping ordinance is unconstitutional as applied to Portland's houseless population. A judge was assigned to the case on Monday. We will have more on the suit as the case proceeds.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We would like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a brand new member at any time during this program just by calling 877-500-5266. At 5:45, we'll have news from the BOO, and that'll be followed at 6 o'clock by Right to Survive Radio. Then stay tuned at 7 for Combined Culture Radio. Tonight's weather will likely be showers and possible thunderstorms with a low of 54 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll have a 40% chance of showers and a high of 68. Today in history, in 1977, 30-year-old Stephen Biko, leader of South Africa's Black Consciousness Movement, died in prison of severe head trauma after several days of beating and torture by police. Our quote of the day is from Stephen Biko, who said, "So as a prelude, whites must be made to realize that they are only human, not superior. Same with blacks. They must be made to realize that they are also human, not inferior."
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael never asks for change, but it keeps coming.
Most change comes in pieces. Rain here and in Seattle, while fires still burn in southern Oregon and NoCal. Drought in the west, floods in the east, Florence on her way. Finally, someone's been killed by a cougar in Oregon so hunters can go wild. Some progressives win, some conservatives can't be touched. Money is always against us. A trusted mechanic closes down after 50 years. A highly praised new restaurant closes in 6 months. I wake the same time every morning, but now I'm ahead of the sun. One friend has her first grandchild, while another friend's mom didn't recognize him. Love happens every day, but not to the same people. Every day someone dies in a head-on crash. 17 years ago, comedian Seth Rogen was too drunk to catch his plane, which crashed into the World Trade Tower. You never know. The twist of coincidence, mostly we recover. Some days not getting worse is the best we can hope for. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Ravel.
The New York City Council today approved legislation to add a third option to birth certificates. The third category, X, is meant to reflect a non-binary or non-conforming gender identity. In addition, under this new law, New York City residents will no longer be required to provide a provider affirmation or affidavit of gender identity from a licensed healthcare provider in order to change the gender marker on their birth certificates. The Health Department and Board of Health have already approved this legislation. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio introduced the bill along with City Council Speaker Cory Johnson in June of this year. The mayor is expected to sign the bill into law.
Now is your chance to show support for the work of our volunteers, which they put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us yet again are Ray and Kyle to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you, Aaron. I'm here with my friend Kyle. My name is Ray, and this is back to the fall membership drive where we're asking you to take a moment and show your support for your community radio station, KBOO. You hear the effort that gets put into the news here. You know, you're getting information you're not getting elsewhere, and you're getting it delivered by your fellow citizens, not paid quote-unquote journalists. You're getting the news from people who are citizen journalists who care about their city, care about the facts, and put their effort into getting it to you. So please call us at 877-500-5266. Let me try that again without stuttering. 877-500-5266 and show your support for your community radio station, your community news team, KBOO. If you're shy and you don't want to talk to one of our talented and attractive phone receptionists here, you can go online and go to kboo.fm. But whichever way you choose to do it, please show your support for your community radio station and do it now.
And again, this is KBOO Portland. This is the fall membership drive, happens every year. And if you want to donate, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And again, as I've said before, the evening news is an expose of all the talent and the hard work the volunteers put in year-round, 5 days a week, always keeping up with the beats and the media cycles of the city. Some people, you know, choose to ignore it. Some people, it's too overwhelming, but we always immerse. We try to give you what's important. We try to give a unique voice and a collection of voices. And if you want to be part of that, you can become a member of KBOO today. Call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And also, we do have a nice snazzy KBOO hoodie. It's a thin hoodie and it's also very warm. And you can do a $300 one-time donation to get that hoodie or do a $25 a month donation. And again, that number is 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And I hear the phone ringing right now, Ray.
Kyle, you know, I'm not sure that all our members know this, but about 7,500 hours a year, that 7,500 hours a year of programming is locally produced by volunteer members. They commit their time, their energy, their creativity to bring you news, music, public affair, cultural events. You hear it all, and the range of music that you hear is incredible. It's like no other station I've heard anywhere. I mentioned earlier that I'm retired and can volunteer, but I still make my monthly contribution, and I did want the snazzy sweatshirt, which I wear with pride around town. And I would urge our listeners to do the same and give us a call, 877-500-5266, $25 a month or a one-time one-time $300 commitment will put you in the highly stylish and very coveted KBOO hoodie, where with the new improved version 3, we have the logo on the front and the back. So your friends, neighbors, family will know your support for your community radio station, whether you're coming or going. So again, please give us a call, 877-500-5266. You can do it online at kboo.fm. You can do it on your cell phone app and click on the red donate button there. But whichever way you choose to do it, this is an opportunity to show your support for your committed local volunteers who are, you know, contributing their time, their energy, their effort to make sure that you're informed.
Mm-hmm. So 7,500 hours a year?
7,500 hours a year.
Oh, wow. Multiply that by 50. But yeah, I remember like during the big 50th celebration for KBOO, since we've been around for 50 years, a lot of archival things started to show up. A lot of old pamphlets about old newsletters about KBOO and a lot of old interviews. And KBOO is historic. It's a staple of the community. Amy Goodman heard about us. And we had an expose at the Oregon Historical Society. And we have those things, the informational wall art, not art.
How about placards?
Placards, that's a good word for it. Now they're distributed all over the station, so if you do want to come by KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right off Burnside, you can see these for yourself and see the history of KBOO and see KBOO as it is now. Just a lot of volunteers putting hard work into the station, helping it make it what it is. And if you want to call, that number is 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm and click on donate.
And you know, Kyle, you mentioned the 50-year history. Just last month, we had our KBOO block party, and it was really interesting to come here as a relative newcomer to KBOO. I've only been volunteering here for 3 years. It was just amazing to meet people that were volunteering here 20, 30, 40 years ago, and watching them interact with each other and recollect the startup of the station. The station has a history. It's an integral part of the Portland community. It's been speaking for the underserved for 50 years. We'll do it for 50 more if we continue to get your help. So please take this opportunity and make that commitment to ongoing support of your community radio station. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Make your voice heard. Make sure that you continue to make your voice heard and that you hear the voice of your fellow community members putting together news, public affairs programming, music programming, cultural affairs, but locally produced citizen journalists at work. So again, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Yeah, KBOO in 100 years, that'll be 2068, and it's just the way history repeats itself. Like today you have Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, in the 60s you had Black Power and Blue Power. It's just the same news stories happening over and over in different disguises, and KBOO has become integral in that because we've been covering those sorts of things for 50 years. And if you want to join in that process too, that number is 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm.
You've been listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael, Jenka Soderberg, Joe Meyer, and Ray Bodwell. The producer is Doug McVeigh. Our engineer is David Kesters, and the KBOO Evening News directors are Teresa Mitchell and Sam Bowman. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR in Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Sojourner Truth Radio looks at state violence against children, plus the continuing hunger strike at the Immigrant Detention Center in Tacoma. At 9, Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, Oregon author John Larrison talks about his new novel, Whiskey When We're Dry. And at 11, Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member during this fall membership drive, call 877-500-KBOO.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
Hello, folks, and welcome to News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what's happening in and around KBOO. And I am your host this week, Delphine Crescenzo, and I'm really happy to be joined by one of our current board member, community member, Shahid Hamid. Hi, Shahid.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm so pleased to be joined by you, Shahid, to talk about a very specific club that is taking place out of Oregon State Penitentiary. That's the Uru Sasa Club. And would you explain to us what is this club? Who are these folks? Okay. And you go and visit them. Why do you do that?
Right. First of all, I would like to begin by saying I'm also a programmer here at KBOO.
You are.
And with the program In Islamic Point of View, heard every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. I've been involved with Uhuru Sasa since the early 80s, at which time I joined the station, and just became interested because, as you know, there's a very disproportionate amount of African Americans involved in the criminal justice system, and I've always been interested in that because I think under a lot of cases it's unfair, you know, the sentencing and so forth, and understanding as well as a community activist, understanding as well that that the families are also impacted by a person's incarceration. Uhuru Sasa kind of contacted me once they kind of heard me on the air, and at that time I was doing a lot of soul music programming, and part of my efforts was directed at phone calls and encouraging inmates to write me letters and reading the letters over the air, and the response was so good that I eventually wound up going down to OSP and being invited to OSP and going down, and you know, once you get involved in a lot of the community activities, you just see the need. You know, that there's such a need, and the club was primarily focused on Martin Luther King birthday, Juneteenth, Kwanzaa celebration, doing banquets and so forth, and I just gravitated toward asking community members and getting community members and musicians to accompany me down there, and just one thing built to another, and it just was an effort to kind of support those individuals and to let them know that that those of us in the community still regard them as important, regard them as individuals in need of support from the community. So that's primarily how I got involved.
And so you were just sharing with me that Uhuru Salsa Club is celebrating their 50th anniversary right. this year, just right. like KBOO, just right. like the Lakota Oyete Key Club, which is also a club mm-hmm. out of Oregon State Penitentiary. We were just talking about how mm-hmm. the riots started mm-hmm. those clubs there. But I'm curious if you would share, Shahid, why do you see as the purpose of this club for the men in there?
Well, for one thing, it makes the time go by. As I said, one of the obvious things, it makes the time go by easier. It makes the separation from families and community easier, and it gives them a platform. You know, it's a heck of a way to get a platform, but it gives them a platform to address some of the inequities in the criminal justice system and some of the unfair type of. How would you say it? You know, when you get district attorneys and so forth, and you look at the unfair aspects of the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. and so that's I think that's one of the things that's very important. And you know, the more you investigate aspects of the criminal justice system, the more you see the need to support in various individuals that may be, you know, may not feel as though they're getting a fair shake, okay? Mm-hmm. So the more you get involved, the more you listen, the more you investigate various aspects of the criminal justice system, the more it kind of sucks you in, almost like with your involvement with the Native American Club. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think that...
I'll just go on and on and on.
Well, I think that what's amazing about these clubs is that they have a monthly meetings mm-hmm. wherever they invite community members from mm-hmm. the outside mm-hmm. to come in. Mm-hmm. And I just love this aspect because I think, you know, we have just the expectation that mm-hmm. these men are going to go to prison mm-hmm. and then come out and, mm-hmm. I don't know, be rehabilitated mm-hmm. in quotation marks, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. whatever that means. Mm-hmm. But yet, if there's no opportunities for connection mm-hmm. to be there with the community, mm-hmm. how can they do that?
Right.
So how does it feel for you to go once a month maybe and to walk into a prison and to be welcomed like you are mm-hmm. and be in community mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. with men that don't mm-hmm. get that on a daily mm-hmm. basis?
Well, one of the things that's important for me is listening to their situations from their perspective, mm-hmm. listening to what their needs are from their perspective, listening to how much they want to reconnect with the community and maintain some connection with the community. And so I mainly go down to get their perspective, as I mentioned, but also to try to encourage who else do they want to see come down from the community. Like they say, well, Shahid, could you talk to the pastors? Could you talk to members of the faith community for us? Mm-hmm. Could you talk to some of the community activists in the community for us? Can you talk to some of the politicians? You know, and it's always a job. And it's always kind of surprising to me that they don't have, we don't have the kind of support that I think that is needed, because these individuals are coming back to the community, and I've had few promised when they were released that they would come down to KBOO, you know, and some of them kept their promise too, came down and volunteered and so forth, like that, so. But for me, it's just it's a point of just listening to what their concerns are, making sure that they are being treated fairly by the state officials and people who are involved in the correctional aspects of the criminal justice system. Some of the, you know, and like you say, understanding and helping them separate out the difference between incarceration and recovery, punishment, you know, what specifically is the goal, you know, mm-hmm. and let them see and help them understand too that if they committed a crime, they still have to pay. They still have to, you know, abide by you know their sentences and so forth, and try to give something back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why do you feel it's so important for them to be connected to the community on the outside, and also for us on the outside, mm-hmm. to be connected with men, women, children, mm-hmm. All folks who are in prison?
Because they are coming back to the community, number one. Right. They're coming back to the community. And something I've been stressing a lot of late is asking them that we need, and let them know that we need their help in the community with a lot of the gangs and so forth. And a lot of these people are former gang members, right. and you know, that they have a responsibility as well to help us clean up the community. And, you know, you have a lot of gun violence, obviously, and it's my view that they are really the ones that can arrest this gang problem. But we're not using innovative methods, and we're not using the resources that I think that we can in the best way that we can. And also part of why I go down is to talk to the politicians and let them know exactly what I'm telling you right now, that those inmates have a role to play, and that we should try to utilize that role. So that's one of the main things I think that drives me to continue my involvement with those individuals.
Why do you, Shahid, what was your reaction when you were first, so back in the 80s, contacted mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. this group, where mm-hmm. you like, wow, that's concerning, mm-hmm. or where you're like, yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. that's what, and why do you feel that it's important for KBOO to be connected to this part of our community?
Well, really, I became involved and really interested in this aspect of the criminal justice system back east. I'm originally from New York. Mm-hmm. And they had a very innovative program that you probably heard of it, Scared Straight. You
yes.
know? And I was very impressed that, you know, with that approach and with that program. And, you know, it allows the inmates to, we can identify young adolescents that maybe on the wrong road and taking the wrong path to address these inmates, to address these youngsters, mm-hmm. and tell them what is ahead of them, you know, if they don't change. So when I moved to Portland, KBOO offered so many opportunities in terms of the things that need to be worked on in the community, for just those of us who care to volunteer to address some of those things. You know, so I was very involved and very involved in